This is James Devine with the Music Ed Podcast, and today we'll be talking to Andy Brady on how to make your marching band practice more efficient. Back in a moment.
Strike up the band so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
Today I've got Andy Brady with me, and he's going to give us some tips on how to make your marching band practice more efficient. Andy, can you tell us a little bit about your background in this marching band world?
For sure. Well, I am an athletic arts clinician and designer, as well as a certified personal trainer through the American Council on Exercise. I actually provide design services around the U.S. and adjudicate athletic arts programs around the United States, states including Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Idaho, Arizona, Texas, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Indiana, California, and recently, a year ago, in Colorado. I actually went to Northern Illinois for a couple of years for jazz studies and jazz performance on trombone, march and drum and bugle corps on the baritone, and developed a love for what I call the athletic arts, because if you look at what we're asking these students to do nowadays, it's not just moving point A to point B, it's moving point A to point B with the multitasking additions of choreographic skill sets and things that really I didn't get into, which is why I actually finished my degree at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater with a minor in dance performance and choreography.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So it sounds like you know what you're talking about. And I know we've done some talking over the last couple of weeks about some things that can help with my program. And actually, Andy and I just came in from helping a bunch of students dot our practice field. And so as we're doing that and talking, we thought that there'd be some ideas. He's given me some ideas already for how to make a marching band practice more efficient. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Andy, and I'll jump in sometimes with some questions or comments. But tell us some of your ideas for how to make that more efficient.
Well, efficiency is key. Especially in the high school marching band area, we don't have a lot of events or shows, and we don't have a lot of time or rehearsals. So to be more efficient, things that I've done that I've taken from some role models of mine, my high school band director from Illinois, my college band director from Wisconsin, and then some of the top drum and bugle corps teachers in the country, is taking out the extraneous. Practice what you perform. Now that sounds very fundamental on a base level, but if you go out there and you realize that maybe we're rehearsing in visual basics, a lot of skill sets that we don't put in the show, or we're not rehearsing enough of the skill sets, the choreographic elements as mentioned before that are in our show, and spending time in things that aren't, we're really wasting our rehearsal time, which is precious to us in the short time we have in the fall season. So what I have done with different groups that I've got to had the pleasure and opportunity of leading or just been in as a clinician is we talk about what's relevant, what's current in the activity, but then what do you want out of your show? Are we rehearsing flanks and basics? Those of you that remember what flanks are, but we don't have any in the show. Let's stop rehearsing that. Things like that. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. In my own program, we kind of did that because we used to do the whole dress and cover movements that I kind of learned in the Army band. And then at one point, actually, one of my students said, "Why are we doing this when we don't ever use this?" And it made so much sense, but it was just something that we had started doing and then kind of became a traditional thing. So we eliminated those movements. But what can we do to even take that further?
Sure, and you know, that's a great lead into what we just spent an hour doing outside with your students and gridding the field. We put, as most of you know, it's 15 feet between each yard line. So cut that in half, You've got your drill design software grid. Every 7.5 feet, horizontally and vertically, we just put a little blue dot down. So now across your entire rehearsal field, we have a grid that mimics what they see on their drill. And instead of quote-unquote marking off, which nobody has a perfect step size, including me, my first year of marching was 1994, Dunlap High School. I can give a shout-out to them. nobody has a perfect 8-to-5 step to mark these off. But now, just like a metronome, just like a tuner, we have a grid on our marching field that is infallible. The math is always right. So, if a kid has a set on the 50, 16 steps behind the front sideline, they count grid dots. 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm on my dot.
Perfect, perfect. I'm looking forward to seeing how, in a, just a short week here is when I start camp, I'm looking forward to see how that's going to help my rehearsal. What are some other ideas for saving some time?
For saving some time, I think if we stick to the very basic teaching 101 idea of tell, show, do, right? We have three basic styles of learning. You know, the audio, tell. We're going to march forwards or we're going to march backwards. The show. This is how we're going to march forwards. I feel this by pushing with my right thigh and I put my feet on the grid. Then do, we have the students perform that. And then from the inside out, we make comments to individuals. I've noticed over the past several years, when we make blanket comments to the entire ensemble, sometimes the kids that are performing or achieving everything right the first time start to adapt to something that maybe might not be completely accurate. As opposed to if we hit those few that really aren't quite getting it at first, normally the younger ones, then by cleaning from what I call the inside out, we're fixing those individual problems, right? The actual problem, not the symptom of the problem, as opposed to giving the whole group blanket comments. Did that translate?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Some people, I think, are, I know earlier on in my teaching, I was afraid to single out the students because I thought that I would hurt their feelings a little bit.
Sure.
And some of them sometimes do have their feelings hurt. But if we have one person out of step, it's just like I think about how I react when the principal addresses the entire faculty in the faculty meeting and says, you know, some of you are not adhering to the faculty dress code. Please be on the lookout for that. I'm starting to wonder, did I miss something? Am I not dressing right?
Sure.
Even though I know that I'm in within the faculty code. If I wasn't, I would appreciate the principal coming to me directly. Or if there's one or two teachers who aren't meeting that, it's easier sometimes as a leader to do the blanket statement.
Sure.
Because we think it's going to reduce tension. But then that just created tension in all the people who are doing what they're supposed to.
Exactly.
Because they wonder, am I doing it right? So I've taken a definite turn in that myself.
Yeah, and one of the things, I think it's very important, as we get older, obviously, you know, everything's changing for the students. Everything is instant gratification. Everything is social media. Everything's on your phone, which is great because it's how I got to your high school without getting lost out here in Colorado. But thinking about that, I think one way to really sort of nip that in the bud before it becomes an issue is simply say, and I say this for all my clinics, anytime I adjudicate or anytime I go out and teach with a group that I'm currently employed with, if I'm not giving you a specific individual comment, you're doing great. If I am giving you a specific individual comment, think about what you need to do to fix that the next rep, and we'll have fun with it. I'm always out there joking around. I started my career in the athletic arts never joking around, and it was not fun for me. It was not fun for the students. And now it's like, you know what? If you miss that big white yard line on the 50, okay, it's kind of funny the first time, right? And now as we get into the season, it isn't, but what can you do to not miss that big white yard line on the 50? You know, have the students really start to use their brains self-assess and self-correct. Uh-huh. That way, instead of being self-concerned about getting a comment, their minds are actively thinking and intuitively thinking based on the training program that we had, what do I need to do to make this better every rep?
Exactly. Do you have some other thoughts for band directors who are getting ready to rehearse their bands?
Yes. Basics is not everything. And I will tell you, from experience and spending countless hours as a performer and as an early teacher about 10, 13 years back, we would spend so much time on basics, and then we would get to the drill, and it would not all translate because we do not march a parade block in our drill. We do not march contracting and expanding circles in our drill. So once they have a fundamental knowledge of a unified technique, how to hold the horn, whichever horn you're playing, how to hold the drum, how to hold the flag or piece of equipment or prop, put that in the drill right away. Because you can spend half the time on basics and double the time in context, the very first thing we talked about in this podcast, and you're going to get double the amount of work done on your show. So for a quick example, instead of doing eights and eights for an hour, let's take a plus one step, a first step, maybe a plus two, get the feel back, get in performance mode, do eights and eights for a couple reps in the proper tempo of what you're about to rehearse, then get on the field and work three sets for 2 hours. Hammer it out. Is the next step bigger or smaller? Is the previous step bigger or smaller? That way your kids are actively thinking, I'm sorry, your performers and students, I don't like to say kids too much, are actively thinking about how to perfect or get as close to perfection in their performance mode.
So just so I can understand, you're not saying not to do the basics. You're just saying rather than spend so much time just doing the basics, to just make sure that they're being followed and done while working the drill.
Correct. And then in that situation, again, you can clean from the inside out. You'll have your best marcher out there that's going to struggle on one set, for sure. It happens in every group. Everybody's taking a different step size as we reform. So, you know, let's talk to those individuals that maybe you're missing or going too far about just simply, again, I'm using a lot of words to say simply, but simply taking the allotted amount of counts in the allotted space, and they'll be great.
All right, do you have one other tip for us?
You have to have fun. You just have to have fun. Find a way to have fun. Everybody's going to get frustrated. I get frustrated every season with every group. But every year that goes by, every season that goes by, I stop showing that because we can turn that into a positive learning experience as opposed to a throw down the water bottle and walk off the field experience, which I think was a lot more prevalent back in my day.
I think I've had some of those throw down the water bottle moments, and I admire my students from two seasons ago. They told me they needed to talk to me in private, and they, after a rehearsal, they put me in, and they said that I was just being too focused on my goals, because I'm very goals-oriented.
Sure.
And they said, we just need to have a little bit of fun and a little bit of time to not be pounding on the drill and trying to get that going. And at first I was angry because, you know, I was tired and I had been putting a lot into what we were doing, and I felt at first that it was a time of them not showing appreciation for what I was doing. But it was totally opposite. When I look back on it now, I feel totally happy that they felt comfortable enough with me to challenge me and make me become a better leader and a better band director to them. But it was hard for a couple of days. And the rest of the season after that went great. That was about the third week of September when we're trying to put the final product on the field front to back, and kids are getting tired with all their other classes, and but I needed that sort of a butt chewing from them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That open communication, I think, is a phenomenal thing to have. because it shows respect both ways, and maybe they can look at you a little bit more like a peer mentor in those situations, where you can open it up to, hey, you know what? What do you guys think? Now, of course, I'm not going to get into design. I know this podcast is about over. The kids don't have anything to do with design. You know, they don't know the fundamentals of the program you're trying to teach them. But what they do know is the emotions they have, and that's very cool if you're able to express those in a manner that furthers the program. Completely agree.
So I know you do some drill writing and you do some consultation with some visual things and some judging. What's the best way for someone to get in touch with you if they'd like to look into more of what you do?
Well, thanks for asking. The best way to get a hold of me, I've got a contact page at www.andybrady.net. And through that contact form at www.andybrady.net, I'll be able to quickly get a hold of you. And as far as the design goes, you know, being a certified personal trainer, I'm definitely in the know about skill sets, how the students move of different body types and what they need to be successful, but also the timeline that you need as a band director to be successful. I think the first two drills I've turned in this year were 3 weeks early.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being part of this. And once again, if you would like to reach Andy, it's www.andybrady.net, and that'll also be in the show notes.
Thank you very much.
The Music and Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band teacher.